All right. Where did God come from? It's interesting to think of the person, the mind that comes up with this question. And I should say that where did God come from? We understand the natural state of man, how we were born, what we grow up looking around, seeing the world. If man is removed from the revelation of God in the Bible, he must assume that what he finds true in this world is the only truth. See? Yeah. He is like a child who imagines all other people will treat him like his parents do. So the natural assumption of the natural man imagines that God must fit his notion of time and space. I know how the world works, he says. So God must fit into that world. I must be able to understand it. However, natural science, the study of natural things, has grown beyond such assumptions. This person actually then is eliminating part of what the natural world knows. Albert Einstein, he theorized and then verified that light is bent by gravity. Who would have thought, you know, have that flashlight and it goes very straight. It's the idea we see straight, we can see something straight ahead, you know. But planetary gravity, the light actually will curve around. His calculations show that time itself can be altered. When an object reaches speeds approaching the speed of light, time itself changes. More recent measurements indicate time is affected by its proximity, closeness, to mass, and even the direction one is traveling. A fascinating experiments. Chronometer, a very, very highly tuned timepiece, clock, that marks fractions of a second. They put one in one jet, one in the other. They're exactly timed at the same time. One takes off east, one takes off west. They fly at jet speed and land. At the end, they look at this and the times are different. It took, you know, to us here on Earth, they landed at the same time, but those chronometers showed they went through time differently. So what does that mean? Well, these discoveries have led to the knowledge that time is not independent of space and matter. It's part of space and matter. It is part of the natural world. It's part of the creation. Now, the Bible tells us that God's creation was the absolute beginning, in the beginning. Normally, when you say beginning, all through the rest of the Bible, it tells you the beginning of what? In the beginning of this thing, or that person, or that rain, or something. But in Genesis and in John chapter 1, it says in the beginning. That would be the absolute beginning. That would be the first moment of time, you see, the beginning. Your time machine, you recognize Mr. Peabody, the Wayback Machine. My illustrations go back so long, people don't know what I'm talking about. But Mr. Peabody and the Wayback Machine, they would travel through time and find interesting things. Friends of Rocky and Bullwinkle. So you may get into your time machine. This was before Doctor Who. And so you get in your time machine and then set it for millions and millions of years ago and take off. But it will crash. As it's traveling through time, it will crash when it gets to the beginning. There's no more time. There was no time before God created time. This is hard for us. We grew up with time. We are time people. So we get these evidences that time is changeable, malleable, but it began then. So the whole question about what was God doing all that time before creation? There was no time. God simply is. He does not pass through time. Christ did when he came to be made man on earth. But just as God invented matter, he invented dimensional space and time. God in himself did not and does not exist within the framework of time-space. He's not passing through time. He doesn't exist all by itself in a certain place. He's outside of that. There's a word in the Greek, Strong's 165, if you have your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance tucked away in a pocket. It's about that big. Ion. And it means primarily a period of time. We translate it ages. But notice how God used it to refer to matter. Ion here, translated worlds, Hebrews 1:2. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He said he's spoken to us the prophets and all these other things. But now in the last days by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, he receives the inheritance of all things, by whom also he made the ages. Translated the worlds here. Looking around at what was made, it's called the ages, the ion. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds, the ions, were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen, what we can see, were not made of things which do appear. The beginning was the beginning, when God, out of nothing except his own power, created everything. He took his energy, turned it into matter. It's interesting to think of the word world. It's likely the King James translators, very, very intelligent people, knowing languages very well, they knew that the English word world actually comes from the Old English weald or weird, a compound of were, like in werewolf, were meaning man and wolf meaning wolf. But it's a man and eld, where eld, which is age, which means then roughly the age of man. The word, English word, world, originally meant the age of man. American Heritage Dictionary. So this is that situation. We are in a situation that, as we study the Bible, we really have become prepared to grasp something of quantum physics, the idea that things are not all what we expect them to be. We say these things are solid. We find out that they're made of molecules that are moving around like this. And the molecules are made of atoms. And the atoms are made of subatomic particles that are very different. We have been, the quantum particles have been formed to give us the illusion of something solid, when actually it's moving around. They tell me that I take my finger and I rub it like this, and if you were to examine the tiniest particles, part of my finger was left on the wood, and part of the wood was picked up by my finger. These molecules, they're not solid. They're moving around until you get to absolute zero, and then it freezes. So we ask, first of all, where did God come from? And we understand that in the natural state of man, without advantage of seeing the revelation from God, we would say God has to be like everything. God has to be like what I see. It has to be like this. But we want to ask another question, and that's point B. What does the Bible reveal about God's existence? This is then what we will learn from comparing what God says with what we find in the world. Psalm 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight, the man says to God, are but as yesterday, when it is past, or when he has passed them, and as a watch in the night. Every few hours, a watchman would wake up and look around and call out, all's well. 2 a.m, all's well. And people that are trying to sleep are saying, shut up. But he was the watchman. So those watches passing in the night. What is to us 1,000 years is not, God is not passing through that time. Isaiah 57, verse 15, says it this way, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Eternity here, that place beyond time. When Isaac Asimov was writing his theory on the Foundation series, there were time travel, and the place, grand central beginning and crossroads of time travel, was a place called eternity. Isaac Asimov, a Jew, I think he understood something about this concept. There was a place from which you could go to any time. It'd be like going into an elevator and stopping at a different floor. He inhabiteth eternity, that's where he lives, whose name is holy. And now God speaks up. I dwell in the high and holy place, but guess who's here with me? With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. I don't gather to me people who think they're also God. To revive the spirit of the humble, I'm here to gather these humble people and revive their spirit, because all around them people are hurting them, making fun of them. And to revive the heart of the contrite ones, the contrite, the humble, gathered to God, he gathers them together and helps them. Colossians 1:17. He is, Christ is before all things. This is the head of all things. And by him all things consist. Part of understanding nature and matter is understanding that in the atom there is a nucleus, protons, neutrons, and so on, and around them are electrons. Now, we don't know much about these things, but a proton is named proton because it has a positive charge, static electricity, positive charge. The electrons are negative, neutrons are neutral. The electrons are negative charge, and so these things are too small for gravity to work. The Earth holds the moon in by gravity, but they hold each other together by the power of static electricity. The positive particles are together at the center, and so it makes it you know, single, double, triple, however many is in there, that much powerful, and they can carry more electrons around it. The thing is, the great question is, what's holding those like particles together in the center? If you've played with magnets, you know that the positive and the negative attract. That's the gravitational force that pulls the electrons in instead of shooting them off. They're attracted to the center. But the protons together in the center are like particles. So two positives heads pushing together. If you have a strong enough magnets, and you try to push them together, you feel like there's an invisible cushion there, and you're pushing, and it slips off to the side. I've played with this quite a while. And the thing is, it's an invisible force that just repels itself. That describes the two or three or whatever protons that are held together in the center. So science recognizes this, and so they gave it a name so that to help them understand. They call it the strong force. The strong force. One man said that scientists have geared everything, tried everything in theory, from glue to barbed wire to hold these things together, but none of that seems to work. But they just, it's the way of creation, it's the way of nature, that the strong force, strong atomic force, holds it together. This verse, Colossians 1:17, gives us another view. By him, all things consist, the word means all things hold together. At the heart of every atom, there is Jesus Christ, his power, holding it together. You know, for God to destroy the universe, he wouldn't have to do anything except let it go. If he let the protons go, they would fly off. There'd be nothing to hold the electrons. You know when that happens? At the atomic bomb. They bombard them until it disrupts the nucleus of the atom. And when it disrupts it, it flows it apart. And then the atom disappears. It turns into energy. Each of these subatomic particles are a piece of energy, but they're in the form of a particle. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you what they found out. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and the other way around, and a thousand years as one day. Take a day and stretch it out to where instead of 24 hours, it's a thousand years long. God can spend a thousand years going through one day, looking at the details. And God can step through a thousand years, so it's just one day. Time does not bind him. So as beings who were created within the framework of time and space, we may find it difficult to picture life aside from time and space. I can't say before or after because that's a time word. So aside from time and space, what is it like? Well, something we've never known, something very difficult for us to grasp, even to conceptually picture. But that's where God is, and that's who God is. Our difficulties of understanding are not the same. Our difficulty of understanding is not the same as proving error or saying something is impossible. God was able to create the entire universe. When you start to think about it, the word impossible doesn't even make sense with God. He can do anything he can conceive. He can invent all of time. And in his presence, make it happen beyond our understanding. Here's the thing to understand. When a person says, that does not make any sense, you know what they're really saying? That does not make sense to me. The man is doing his taxes. And the kindergartner comes up and says, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing this and that and so on. I don't understand. Well, of course you don't. You're in kindergarten, or maybe pre-kindergarten. There are things that we shouldn't expect to understand that God is and God does. He's that much greater than we are, beyond our understanding. So, the person can say, that doesn't make any sense, but he means it doesn't make any sense to me because I have not allowed my mind to go beyond what I see and hear. If you were raised in a log cabin and all you knew was plowing the field, skyscrapers of a city would be impossible. How would you stack stone that high, you know? Our sense of reality is based on sense perceptions that are quite limited. You understand that when we look out and see color, we only see up to infrared and ultraviolet. Infrared is beyond our limit, and ultraviolet is beyond our limit at the other end. But there's a color beyond. So if a being were made of color beyond ultraviolet or beyond infrared, he could be standing in front of us and we couldn't see him. Our eyes are not equipped to perceive it. I'm not saying there isn't one like that. I'm just saying if he were. So our senses are quite limited. Hearing. What'd you say? Hearing is quite limited. Dogs hear better than we do. I think it's the grizzly bear that holds the record, being had the greatest sense. Maybe that's smell. I think maybe that's smell. Dogs and grizzly bears have a great sense of smell. So a dog can follow something by smell. You have to imagine it's a foggy night, but a great bright light is, I don't know, way down several streets away. And you can tell by the glow that it's down there. You can't see it yet. Well, that's the way it is. Smell is to these animals. But you and I don't have that ability. So we're just sheltered. We're held by our senses. We don't know what is all around us. Now, that's the reality of things. But what we think we know, what we think is reality, is the map that we have created that explains where we are. But the map is not reality. You see, this is just the way you steer in this world. This is the way you understand, you make sense of it. But it's not reality. So our sense of reality is based on sense perceptions that are quite limited, and those are based on a structure imposed on the chaotic subatomic quanta quantum is singular, quanta is plural, that exist somehow without the quality of locality. They do not occupy a definite place. Those electrons I was talking about, the Niels Bohr diagram of the atom was the center there, and these things moving around like moons. The more current picture is that the electrons exist at a certain level of energy, because they actually don't exist at a certain place. They don't have a place. Our concept of reality stops at the atomic level. If you peek down below the atomic level, it's all chaotic. There's some evidence that some of these particles actually go back in time. They seem to appear here and then here without passing between. So we don't understand that. Yet our entire reality is based on that structure. You know who does understand it? God. By him all things consist, all things hold together. And so he's given us a reality for us to deal with. And that's enough for us, you know. Trying to make sense of what we know is hard enough. So God turned his energy into time, space, matter, forming an organized reality for man to live and man to thrive. God is not a creature of time, space, matter, as the inventor is not his invention, as the author is not his book, and so does not have a beginning, does not have a duration, does not have an end. Nothing that God does had a beginning, a middle, or an end, duration or end, except when viewed by us as we pass through time and space. Those people of the Bible who dealt with God, that was God going into time at that spot to speak to them. And then as they went on, they spoke to him again. God then just went into time at that spot and talked to them. It's the same God. In fact, it's God at the same place, the exact same being. In fact, I'm going beyond what I can understand. He was in both places talking to them at the same time with God. The eternal is, not past, present, future. So, where did God come from? God is, in the beginning, God created. So what we know is what he created. We're one of the things that he created. We live in a universe. So the universe is the box that he made to keep man in. And the special part of that universe is planet Earth. He put us in a place where at night we can look out at the night sky on a clear night and see the stars. There are many places in this universe where conditions are such you couldn't see beyond your sky. He wanted us to see this. He wanted us to know what he had done. He wanted us to say, boy, that's pretty. Boy, that's nice. The colors of the flowers are not primarily to attract the birds and the bees, but for us, something he wanted us to like. The foods, he wanted us to taste them and say, they're wonderful. So this is the thing we're dealing with when somebody says, where did God come from? Everything comes from something. Well, in your world, it does. In your understanding, it does. But your understanding is too limited. And the Word of God gives us the hints and the direction to open up way beyond all of that. a God who simply exists and has all power, made everything else. Let's pray. Father, you've given us food for thought. You've given us the ability to understand that which is beyond our understanding. We can glimpse it. But I pray, Father, that you might help us then to smile a bit when someone says, "Where did God come from?" And realize that they're thinking that he came from this same world, like everything else that we know came from. But it was the other way around. This world came from him. And so we ask, Father, you might, as we learn these things, we understand something of the quantum physics, we understand something of the variables of time, and perhaps even the variables of light. We pray that you might help us recognize that these are just the tools that you invented to make this world, this universe, something that can be used of us, enjoyed by us, and help us out in the making of a good life. We pray that you might then give us that sense of compassion to say, well, it's a very important question and not an unlikely question, knowing only the limited things that you know about the world. But when we understand there's something far greater in God, we understand that that's not a question that even makes any sense. So I pray, Father, that you might guide us and help us to bow before you. You have told us that you're higher than us, as the heavens are higher than the earth. You are greater than us by many, many times. And so your thoughts are not our thoughts. Our thoughts are not yours. And we shouldn't have expected that. That's elementary thinking. Help us, Father, then just to bow and say, you know and we don't. You understand and we don't. You made us and you have given us the instruction manual for life in the Bible. All that we need for life and godliness. And I ask, Father, you might help us then to depend on it to the utmost, to doubt ourselves and depend on the Word of God. So a man that trusts in his own understanding is a fool. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder if you're saying, Pastor, I need to have that sense of compassion. When people ask these questions, I say, well, it's a very important question, a very difficult question. But I want to give you a soft answer that might expand the way you think. And then urge them to know the God who created the universe and time. Our Father, we commit our hearts to thee that we might be your messenger, your ambassador, as you said, that it's our job to acquaint others with you. We know you because we've trusted in Christ as Savior, but they do not. They don't understand. So we pray thy blessing as we seek to give soft answers to the tough questions, and particularly that one about where did God come from. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.